Hello, all of you out there in Radio Land. This is KPTZ, Port Townsend, 91.9 FM. And for our virtual listeners, please stay glued to kptz.org. Our website's more than a way to listen to today's show. For example, you can find biographies of all of our hosts and DJs. You can look up calendar listings to see what's happening around town. You can even sample some of our earlier shows. In fact, much of the original programming on KPTZ is currently available as a podcast, you know. Double your listening pleasure. Listen to today's show as well as some earlier ones. I'm Marianne McNellis. This show is called Our Town. Have you ever wondered who the people are that you see every day around the area? Who drives and presumably lives in the Army Green school bus spotted in different places around town? Who was that guy in a top hat at Better Living Through Coffee the other day? The big beard completed his look. Meanwhile, in Uptown, the Sainted Accounting Volunteers are once again helping folks with their taxes. Who are those people, and how do they know which numbers to crunch? Jefferson County is full of all sorts of fascinating characters. This show, Our Town, tries to profile some of the singular personalities who live here, but the show is only a half hour long, which is definitely not long enough to do justice to some of our fellow citizens. So it's a synopsis. We try to get our guests to talk about their lives, their dreams, and how they ended up on the western edge of the continent, able to look across the Strait of Juan de Fuca, right at Vancouver Island, Canada. Over time, we'll be talking with firefighters and foodies, bus drivers and baristas, the lawyers and the ladies who lunch. We try to find out what makes them tick and what they think about living in beautiful Jefferson County amid the deer, the otter, and even the magnificent soaring eagles. Today, my guest is Bob Saring, Sergeant-at-Arms and Club Manager of the Marvin Shields American Legion Post 26 in downtown Port Townsend. Even if you aren't a veteran, you may have attended one of the events down at the Legion Hall, such as the Kinetic Sculpture Festival Ball, the Woodworking Show, Steampunk Festival, Strange Brew Festival, or even registration for the R2AK, our beloved Race to Alaska. But before we talk about the Legion and its multifaceted impact on the town, let's get to know Bob a bit. Welcome to the show, Bob.
Well, thank you.
Let's start at the beginning. Are you a local boy born in Jefferson County?
No. I was born in Pennsylvania, right outside of Philadelphia.
Okay. And what did your folks do?
My father was a plumber, and my mother was a stay-at-home mom.
Oh, great. Great. And you have several siblings, but I understand you're the baby of the family.
I am.
What about high school? Did you go to high school in Pennsylvania?
I did, yes.
Now, kids label each other. They will say, he's a band geek, she's a nerd, he's a jock, whatever. What do you think they might have pigeonholed you, even if you disagree?
None of the above. I was sort of in the group that didn't have a group.
I see. There are a few high school kids who are very focused. They say, I always wanted to be a dentist, or I always wanted to be a plumber. And they're focused on what they want to do. Most high school kids aren't like that, but where were you on that spectrum?
I totally wasn't focused. It wasn't until towards the end of my senior year that I even decided to join the Marines. And even then, I was sort of on the fence back and forth.
I see. Did you have any role models, anyone you knew that was a Marine?
No.
No. Then why the Marines versus the Navy or the Air Force? What spoke to you there?
The uniforms.
Well, you were a kid. That was a good enough reason, I suppose.
Well, no, my family, my father and my mother had eight brothers, and all of them were in World War II or Korea through various branches, the Navy, Army. For whatever reason, I was just always attracted to the Marines. I did talk to the Army recruiters and thought about possibly joining the Army. But finally, I'd settled on the Marines.
Okay, and where'd you go for basic training?
Parris Island, South Carolina.
I've heard that basic training or boot camp is pretty rough on you.
It's tough. It's very difficult.
But you got through?
I got through.
And where'd they send you first?
Immediately after basic training, I went to Naval Air Station Millington, which is outside of Memphis, Tennessee.
Hmm. And what were you doing there?
That was a school. It was a base that we went to learn avionics.
Okay.
Aircraft maintenance and electronics.
did that turn out to be your calling?
No, actually, it ended up exactly the opposite. I didn't do so well. So I was transferred out of there to North Carolina, Camp Lejeune, where I became a cook.
Well, that's a useful skill, I would say.
It's helped me over the years. I've been doing it ever since.
Okay. Well, how long were you in the Marines?
4 years.
4 years. And then where?
I moved back while I was back in the Philadelphia area. So I moved into the city and I got a job at a hotel. Actually, I was in the front of the house there. I was a busboy and then a waiter and then eventually the restaurant manager. I was there for about 7 years and then moved down to D.C., continued my career at that point in food service, and went into banquets and event planning.
When you were in D.C., did the hotel you were at, did it attract a lot of the big-name politicians?
Not so much the hotel I worked at, but I left my first job there, and I started working at a university conference center. It was the Gallaudet University, which is the college for the deaf. I was the director of conference planning at the conference center there. So from that, I met a lot of congressmen, senators. I was just thinking on the way in about an event I held with Eleanor Holmes Norton after the post office scare with the...
Oh, the white powder.
Yes. That took place just not even a mile from the conference center I worked at.
Wow.
And she kind of had a town hall to talk about it and what had happened.
Yeah, wow. What were the types of conferences they had there? Can you remember a couple of them?
All sorts of conferences. We did everything from the school teachers' conferences. We did weddings. We did just all kinds of events, government events, D.C. public schools, you name it.
Okay. How long did you stay with that?
I was there, for about 7 years off and on. I was transferred up to New York for about a year, New York City, and then I went right back down to the same mm-hmm. place.
And you changed companies at some point?
Well, the companies changed on me.
Okay.
The one company lost their contract with the university, and then another company came in and picked up the contract and kept me on.
Oh, okay. Well, that worked out okay for you.
Yeah.
So what was your next career move?
Well, once that contract was up, I was asked to come out to Mount Rainier for a month to help with a board of trustees meeting that was going to take place at the national park, and so I did.
Had you been to Washington State before that?
Never.
And was it what you expected?
It was 1 month solid living at Mount Rainier, so I really didn't know what to expect. It was almost a vacation. I did a lot of hiking, a lot of sightseeing things, but I mean, for a month straight, I lived
right there. Sort of an isolated experience.
Oh, yes. So once that was over with, I went back to Pennsylvania, and then a couple of months later, the vice president of the company called me up and asked if I'd come back out. So I did. I thought, it was a good time in my life to make a change. So I came back out and I worked there for another 3 months when I was asked to come here to Port Townsend and work at the Commons building at Fort Worden.
Had you been to Fort Worden or Port Townsend at that point? So it was a brand new experience.
No. Completely. I got up one morning and there was a note on my door to come to the office, and I went and they said, "We're going out to Port Townsend." We drove out, and that was it. I was here.
Now, that's unusual. You know, a lot of people end up in Port Townsend, and an issue is always finding a job. I mean, there aren't that many jobs around, but you're quite the opposite. You actually came out with a job waiting for you.
Yeah, I was sent here to work. It's actually amazing. The hardest part was finding a place to live.
Yeah, that can be tough. And so do you remember what were your first impressions of the town?
After living in the city for so long in Washington, D.C., and I lived in New York, and I lived in Philadelphia, it was a little bit of a culture shock for me. I remember one day I'd gotten done work, and I was going to go out to dinner. It was maybe 7:30. Before I went, I thought I would call a friend of mine back east and talk to her for a little bit. And I called her up, and as we're talking, I'm walking down the street, and I'm realizing that it's the middle of summer and there's nobody around and all the businesses were closed. And it was just surprising because back east at 7:30,
Yeah, you're...
Things are just coming to life.
Exactly. You're used to busy streets and crowds and
right.
all of that, and here you were in basically the middle of nowhere.
Right.
What year was that when you first moved to Port Townsend?
Oh, that would have been 2004.
Okay. I recall the company you were working for lost the contract or resigned the contract.
Well, the contract ended.
Right.
And they chose not to bid on the next contract.
Now, you could have gone with that company to some of their other work sites, but you opted to stay in Port Townsend.
I did.
What was your thinking?
I loved the town. I fell in love with it. Over time, it grew on me, and it kind of reminded me of the town that I grew up in.
Huh. So while you grew up near Philadelphia, you were in a small town.
I was in a small town called Feasterville, okay. Pennsylvania.
Feasterville. That's an interesting name.
Don't know where it came from.
No. Sometimes you wonder about things like that. So you arrived here in 2004, and then your company changed. Well, they left town. You didn't. You got a job. Okay. You're listening to KPTZ Port Townsend 91.9 FM. This show is called Our Town. I'm your host, Maryam McNellis. Our Town profiles some of the fascinating people who live and work on the Olympic Peninsula. My guest today, Bob Saring, general manager of the Port Townsend American Legion. He's been talking about how he ended up in Port Townsend and then his job sort of disappeared, but he decided to stay and get a job because he loved the town. Now, what did you do first?
I got a job at the Manresa Castle.
How did you end up at the American Legion? Was there a transition immediately from the castle, or did you do a couple of things?
My first experience with it was when I was working at Fort Warden. I enjoy playing pool, and there's a local pool league here in town, and I joined a team that played out of the American Legion. That was my first experience. I had never been in a Legion post before or anything. So I started going to the Legion to play pool.
Right.
And then over the years, I started to frequent it more often.
And when did you decide to become a member?
2008.
Okay. When you first joined, you were just a member. You weren't holding any sort of office or anything like that.
Right. I've been going there for probably 3-4 years, and I knew I could join, but I never really had any special desire to join. It just wasn't really being run the way I thought it should be or could be. And then they had a commander there named Joe Carey, who made a lot of changes to the place. He and I got to be pretty good friends, and we were talking one day, and he said to me, you could join, you really ought to. And I thought, yeah, I should. So I joined up and almost immediately started volunteering, doing little things here and there, getting the wood for the fires, cutting, kindling, that kind of thing. And then as the years went on, started volunteering more and more.
And when did you actually become the manager down there?
About 4 years ago.
Mm-hmm. I think most everyone in town knows where the Legion is. It's, on the corner, sort of kitty corner from the Maritime Center. A lot of people have been in there going to different events. There are a lot of big events there. I mentioned a few of them at the beginning, but I don't think that many people know about the Legion. It actually is a huge organization. Give us just a little bit of the background. How old is it?
The National American Legion, it's 100 years old, 101 years old this year. It was formed right after World War I by a group of officers and enlisted men who were stuck in France after the war. Morale was low, and they were looking for a way to keep spirits high, and they decided to form this organization as a way of helping the service members fit back into society once they got home.
Okay, roughly how large is the organization now?
We've got about 3 million members.
Wow.
13,000 posts worldwide.
Wow. The post here is number 26, so it's an older post. In fact, you told me last year was the 100th birthday.
It is, yes. We were formed in 1919. As a matter of fact, our first meeting was in August 26th of 1919, in what was then the Soldiers and Sailors Club here in Port Townsend.
Okay. The post moved to the present building back in the 40s. When was that again?
1946. Wow. The building was built in 1941 as a USO hall during the war.
Okay.
And then when the war ended, the government wanted to get rid of it, so it was sold to the Legion.
So roughly how many members locally do we have?
Locally in our post, we've got about 350 members in the Legion, and then we've got about 40 in our auxiliary and about 50 in our sons.
Some branches of the Legion have motorcycle affiliates, but this, right now, you don't, although you're open to it, right?
Right. There's a group called the Legion Riders. That's another sub-branch that we don't have a chapter of.
We've mentioned some of the activities there, but the post itself is a club, and it's got a bar and pool tables and games and things like that, but I don't think people know much about the other things. Let's talk about the Honor Guard. What is the Honor Guard?
Sure. Well, the Honor Guard is a group of us that the largest part of our job is when a veteran passes, we will go out and we'll perform the three-volley rifle salute. I've got three live bugle players that will come out. One of them will come out and play taps, and then two of us will fold and present the American flag.
Okay.
In addition to that, we march in the Rhododendron Parade. We do our Memorial Day and Veterans Day ceremonies, and then further, we'll go out to scout groups and do a flag etiquette class. Schools, we've gone to the Salish Coast School.
You mentioned to me the other day that there's something about 13 folds in the flag.
When you fold a flag into a triangle, you fold it 13 times to get that triangle shape. And it's kind of an urban legend. We don't really know where it came from, but there are stated what each fold means in the folding of the flag.
Like, give me an example.
One fold is in honor of the mother whose children have gone away. One fold's in honor of the father. One's in honor of those who've passed. Each one means a different thing.
Okay. Before we go on, I'd just like to mention that you don't have to be a member of the Legion to have the Honor Guard at the funeral of a veteran. Is that correct?
Correct. Yeah. Any veteran's family can request it.
So if one of your loved ones dies, you can call and set it up, and what documents do you need? Just their discharge or what?
The discharge paper and then a certificate of death if you need to get a flag. The post office actually carries the American flags. They're required by law to give them out to anyone who can present the death certificate and their DD-214.
I didn't know that. Mm-hmm. So there's actually a stash of flags somewhere.
They've got a bunch of them up there.
Yeah. Interesting. Boy, I've been to a few of the more formal ceremonies of a Memorial Day or Veterans Day, and it's very moving. The Port Townsend Summer Band plays, and one of the pieces of the event I really like is they do a medley of songs of each branch of the service. Mm-hmm. And while they're playing, let's say, the Army song, the guys and women who've been in the Army stand up and everyone applauds. And it's really very touching to see all of these people.
Yeah, I believe that's called the March of the Armed Forces.
What are some of the other little components of that ceremony?
Of the Memorial Day ceremony?
Yeah.
The largest component for us would be the cemetery ceremonies. We actually go out to Fort Worden Cemetery, then we go to Laurel Grove and St. Mary's cemeteries and do a wreath laying ceremony with the Elks, the VFW, and occasionally the Scouts will come out with us. We'll lay wreaths at each of the ceremonies and we'll do the three volley salute.
Right. And in the hall itself, there's a part of the ceremony is about those missing in action.
Yes, the POW MIA table.
Right.
Every American Legion post will have one, and it's a symbolic table representing those who are missing or are listed as POW and never returned.
Mm-hmm. Another component is the Quilts of Valor.
Yes, that's an organization that we teamed up with a few years back, and what it is a group of people, I'm not going to say women, a group of people who make quilts and give them. Originally, they were given to service members, but from that, they've given them away to veterans.
It's really quite lovely to witness that.
It is. They're beautiful quilts.
Oh, they are.
Handmade.
Yeah. Another activity is the ringing of the bells at the courthouse. Explain that.
Every 6 months, we do a ceremony at the courthouse with the Patriot Guard riders out of Port Angeles. They'll read the names of every veteran that has passed in the last 6 months and then ring a bell for it. Then they'll play taps, and there's a flag folded and presented to one person whose family member has passed that did not receive a flag.
So is it on a specific date each year? Or
it is on the third Saturday of October and April.
Another component of the American Legion Post is the homeless shelter.
Yes.
So the Legion is the host, correct?
Right. That's probably what most people think of when they think of the American Legion, because it's always in the news, the shelter at the American Legion. We are actually the host of it. We basically rent the space out to OLECAP, who is the organization that actually runs it. Now, granted, we only charge them, I think, $1 a month or something like that. But so we're the host of the shelter, but they actually run it.
Uh-huh.
OLECAP and the organization called COAST. It's a consortium of churches.
Okay. And the capacity of the shelter is what?
32.
32. And it's open to both men and women.
Men and women, yes.
Yeah. That's really an important thing to have that. And I congratulate you for stepping up and giving the space, basically, because it's an important thing. Another thing that the American Legion does, you have two service officers. Can you explain what service officers do?
Sure. A service officer is trained by the American Legion in how to navigate through the bureaucracy that is the VA. You can call them up and set up an appointment to meet with them. They'll help you fill out whatever paperwork you need for whatever specific situation you're in.
Yeah, well, I understand applying for benefits at the VA is a very complex matter, so
it can be extremely complex. As a matter of fact, there are times where the VA will direct you. If you call the VA directly, they'll direct you to call the American Legion, or typically the VFW will also have a service officer.
Well, that's really good. And again, you don't have to be a member of the Legion.
Any veteran
can call. And that could be really helpful to a lot of people to get through that paperwork. It's amazing how complex they make this. Now, I know you also give scholarships and you work with the Scouts. You mentioned that. And Boys and Girls State, yeah, that's another activity of the Legion. But I really want to talk about what's happened in the last little while, because there have been some changes down there.
Right, with the building itself.
Right. So what happened? How did that come about?
Last February, well, I guess December, a year ago, I was approached by Nathan Barnett, who is part of the local Olympic Peninsula STEAM. It's the steampunk group.
Right.
And he came to me and he said that he wanted to do a benefit for the Legion to help us out, because we've always had a really good relationship with the steampunk group and the Victorian Festival. We kind of went back and forth a little bit, and we decided that would do a benefit to help purchase sound panels for the hall, because the biggest complaint we get about the hall is that it echoed. It's so cavernous,
right,
that sound would just echo all around.
And it was built in the 40s, so.
And it was built in the 40s, right. So we decided we'll do a benefit for that. We raised a few thousand dollars, and at the time, we were thinking, well, the project will cost maybe $10,000 or $15,000. Then the film festival kind of got wind of what we were trying to do. And they came down and they said, listen, you know, we'd love to help. So they helped out quite a bit, raising money through their donors for specifically the Legion. We ended up raising about $50,000, all of which we were able to spend easily. What we have now is insulation in the walls, which we never did. They've painted the entire ballroom, and then they put up acoustic panels as well as doors that are more soundproof. So that way when you're in the hall, you don't hear people playing pool or cheering on the football.
That's really good, because previously you could really hear what was going on.
It traveled
there.
Through, yeah.
Yeah. Well, that's great. And it works for them, too, because the film festival and the steampunks and a whole variety of groups use that space.
Right.
So it's helpful. But I believe you told me that's phase one. What's going to happen next?
So we've got sort of a phase 1B where we want to get new curtains. We want to get some better lighting in the hall, some built-in speakers, a sound system. But then we go on to phase two, where we start working on the bathrooms, the front of the house, the lounge area. The idea being that now we have this beautiful hall that can support a large group coming for a concert or whatever. Now we need to kind of do the infrastructure to support that.
Right.
And the bathrooms are a big part of that.
Right. So can we expect another fundraiser or two?
It'll be coming along, yes.
Okay, but you don't have any dates yet.
Don't have a date set
yet. Okay, because I think a lot of people would be really interested in helping out, because it's such a great community resource. It's one of the largest, if not the largest, venue in town.
Right. Well, and actually, just this whole renovation's kind of inspired us to sort of refocus back, and we're going to try to start doing more community-type events.
Do you have anything planned that you can talk about?
There's a couple. We made a few offers to groups to come out. The Historical Society does a First Friday lecture. Mm-hmm. They've got most of their lectures already booked over at the Maritime Center, but there's a few that they still are looking for space. So we've offered that to them. I'm working with a gentleman who's a member at our post. He's a member of our Sons. Walter Harris, who's doing a concert in February, actually the 22nd. So we've got some things coming up.
Okay. Sounds exciting. Well, I hate to tell you this, we're basically out of time here.
Huh.
I want to thank you for being on the show. It went by really quick. In addition to thanking you, I want to thank my partner, John McPherson. He's the man in the glass booth. He is the editor and producer of Our Town. He will make us sound so much better and smoother than we really are in real life. I also want to thank the three people at the top here: Larry Stein, program director, Kate Ingram, station manager, and Robert Ambrose, chairman of the board. They all work incredibly hard to make KPTZ a strong and vibrant community station. I want to thank you, the listener. KPTZ 91.9 FM is a community radio station. That means we are listener supported. We need those donations, folks. We're trying to get enough money to renovate a building at Fort Worden. We're going to move there and give up our present world headquarters and a trailer in the parking lot of Mountain View School. And I'm sure it will be lovely. And you know how contractors are. We're going to need more money than we think we do. So you have been listening to Our Town on KPTZ. My guest today, Bob Saring from the American Legion. And he's been telling us all about what they're doing and the plans for the future. So listener, I'm signing off for today, but please keep listening to KPTZ Port Townsend 91.9 FM for more dynamic, eclectic community radio.
Our Town is an original KPTZ production created by Marianne McNellis and engineered by John McPherson.